You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
Apparently in ancient China there was an obsession with finding the elixir of life, that is, a liquid that could bring immortality. Many emperors would send out missions to find it, with little success, well, no success in fact. It was also believed that some precious long-lasting substances like gold, if drunk, could bring longevity, that is, long life, to those who drank them. Now, we might not be into drinking gold these days, but the same kind of thirst exists today, doesn't it? I don't need to tell you about the deeper thirst for satisfaction in the city, a thirst for real joy, real happiness that is not illusory or fleeting, for lasting hope. Most people in the city know that a city career does not offer any of these things. My uncle was a very successful barrister, a QC, for 30 years, and I was just very struck on a walk with him once, him just saying, I think he'd been doing it for 30 years, he said, you know what, after 5 years, it was really dull. I was bored. The same thing over and over again. This is one of the most respected lawyers in the city. Most of us know that city careers cannot offer deep satisfaction. That's not news to most of us. But what about family, people say? What about family and relationships? Well, there's definitely more substance there, isn't there? However, those of us with families know that though there are joys, families are broken, and not even children can fill the thirst in our souls for a deeper satisfaction. Well, this passage of scripture, here we see God describes his salvation in terms of quenching the thirst in our souls. Just have a look down at verse 3 again. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. That is, if you want to know what being saved by God is like, here it is in verse 3 in a nutshell. We can go to the pub and water ourselves with a drink that brings temporary relief. God says we can come to Jesus Christ and find the drink that brings true happiness. Verse 3, of course, flows out of verses 1 and 2, which we looked at last week. There in verse 1, we saw the heart of salvation. That is, a restored relationship with our Creator. And verses 3 to 6 are the implications of this. And therefore, in verse 3, we see that as our relationship with our Creator is restored, so he opens up the wells of salvation for anyone who would come. As it were, they flow out of him as he comforts us in that restored relationship. It is no surprise, therefore, that Jesus Christ stood publicly in Jerusalem a few days before he died and cried out publicly, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. In other words, he was saying, as I die on the cross and our relationship with our Creator is restored, so anyone can come to me and find the wells of salvation. I have just 2 points today. The water that brings true happiness, the water that transforms us, on your sheets. There's a well-known account of a group of men who escaped from a Siberian prisoner of war camp in World War II. You may have seen it. It's been made into a film, The Long Walk. They walked all the way down from from Siberia to India. That's 3,000 miles through unbelievably testing terrain. Amazingly, three of them survived out of the six or seven who went. Two of them died in the Gobi Desert in Mongolia. Actually, they just didn't know what they were walking into, so they didn't know what it was, that it was a desert of hundreds of miles. And so they didn't stock up with water. And 8 days' trek later, and one person had died. So they were basically crawling, and they found an oasis and drank. This is the metaphor that God is using to describe his salvation. In fact, there are three things that God is doing here in describing his salvation with this metaphor in verse 3. Firstly, being saved by him will be like having a desperate thirst satisfied. It will feel like water splashing down the parched throat of the dying desert traveller. Here we have, I think we find an important correction to the prevailing view of what coming to Jesus will be like. See, many people think that you come to Jesus and you get religion. Come to Jesus and you get rules. A couple of weeks ago, I was chatting to a guy in Whitechapel Library on a Saturday morning. He's about my age. Turns out he works in the city as well. He was reading a comic, actually. That was his Saturday morning relaxation routine. I don't know if that's something you've tried. We got chatting, and it turned out that he was a Catholic and had been attending Catholic churches on and off throughout his life. And I asked him if he wouldn't mind summing up what he thinks the Christian message is. And I got the answer that I feared I would get. He said, well, it's just trying to love people. Be a good person. If there's one question we can ask to which we know we will almost always get the same answer, it's that one. But verse 3 says no. No, no, no. That is not what the Christian message is. It is not about me bringing my best efforts to God, trying to be good enough. It's not about me bringing anything actually to God, but rather it's about God bringing to me, to us, his life-saving water. When somebody comes to Jesus Christ, it is only ever as a desperate and dying man or woman plunging their heads into the wells of salvation. We don't bring anything. We receive the wells of salvation. It's about grace. It's about what God has opened up for us. I remember my first taste of this water at the age of 14. And yes, it was the joy at the deepest level. There is nothing like being brought back into relationship with our Creator and being able to call him Father. It was like having a deep soul thirst satisfied. And there, we could just go around the room, I think, couldn't we, and find many others who would say the same. And these wells are freely available to anyone. Secondly, they're freely available. That's the second thing that God is saying by using this image of the wells of water to describe his salvation. If you're here investigating Christianity today, there is no charge for this water. It's free. It's like the water that runs down the hills or the oasis found in the desert. No human being owns it. There is no charge for it. You can just come and drink. That's the picture. It is freely available to anyone. Neither does water discriminate. Water doesn't have standards as to who can drink it. It doesn't matter who you are, your ethnic backgrounds. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. You can drink water. It doesn't matter how you've lived. You can drink water. That's the point. Water does not discriminate. It is freely available to anyone. I was on retreat with Jonathan Aitken a few weeks ago, part of an Anglican ordinands thing. He's part of the same cohort. Many of you will know that as a disgraced politician, publicly disgraced for perjury, he was sitting in prison and he came to Jesus and he tasted this water. Forgiveness, love, hope. I was at church on Sunday and a lady in her 60s, a true London-born East Ender who had been a crack addict for most of her life, and the phrase down and out really probably would describe it. She became a Christian 2 years ago. She just came and drank from the wells of salvation, because anyone can. A partner in a leading city law firm just over in Moorgate became a Christian last year. On the surface, a decent bloke. He plunged his head into the wells of salvation, because water doesn't discriminate. It's for anyone. This is God's salvation. The third observation about this image in verse 3. It would be possible to get this verse wrong in the sense that we take it to refer just to a one-off event, as if at the moment that someone comes to Jesus, they take a great big drink, and then that's it for the rest of eternity. But that is not how wells worked in the ancient world. A well was the permanent source of water that sustained the life ongoingly of a community. So verse 3, if you're a Christian today, verse 3 is describing not just your past, but your present and your future. It is describing, in a nutshell, your eternity. Now, I just want to address an issue for people who follow Jesus here today, especially. If you are a follower of Jesus, you will be able to look back at particular moments at which you have tasted this water and at moments of joy. However, there may be many here thinking, do you know what? It's been a long time since I feel like I tasted this water. I have a good Christian friend who would say that she hasn't felt much joy at all over the last 5 years. The demands of adult life have crowded in. Well, perhaps more accurately, it feels as though from time to time you get half a drop, a bit like those pictures of desert travellers squeezing the last bit of moisture out of a leather pouch, just enough to keep going for the next 2 hours. That can be what the Christian life feels like, and if that is you, there's no need to panic. The psalmist seems to go through that experience of being spiritually parched. There are probably complex reasons as well for why one might go through a spiritually parched period, sometimes out of our control. Mental health issues can be an obvious example. Depression. However, it may simply be that you need to replunge your head into the wells of salvation. That may be it, if it's you. Where do we find these wells? We find them in Jesus Christ. Where do we find Jesus today? In his word, the Bible. So here are the wells of salvation, as accessible today, in Jesus' words in the Bible. So if you are feeling spiritually dry, well, there are things you might want to try to do about it. Leave the kids with the grandparents. Do something radical. Take a day with your husband or wife or whatever on your own, and go to and don't. Instead of going to the spa, you could just read a gospel together, or you could go to the spa and read a gospel together. You could come away on the weekend away with us in March the 1st to the 3rd. A weekend away. It'd be great if some of you wanted to come away. It's on your notice sheet, I think. And there'll be great teaching, just a chance to put aside everything else and to replunge your head into the wells of salvation, into God's word. Why not read John with a colleague? So we talk about these one-to-one notes. Everyone who's a Christian who does them with someone else says they learn so much themselves as they do it. We often frame one-to-one Bible reading as being only for the other person's benefit, but why not see it as a way to plunge your own head into the wells of salvation, even as you grab someone else's and shove it in as well? So, this water, verse 3, quenches our soul thirst. It is freely available to anyone, and it is ongoing and forever. It is where true happiness is to be found. But secondly, the water also transforms us. That's our second point today. My wife over a period of some months, persuaded me to read Harry Potter. I was determined to hate it, but actually I became so hooked on it I couldn't put it down. There is a potion in it, those of you who've read it will know there's a potion in it which if you drink it makes you fall in love with someone. I can't remember whether it's the first person you see or what it is. Someone will tell me afterwards. Anyway, that person then becomes an obsession. A potion that makes you fall in love with someone. Now, in so many ways, that illustration is unhelpful. But in one way, it is exactly what happens as someone drinks from the wells of salvation. We're transformed. Even more specifically, what or whom we love is completely turned on its head. I wonder if you can see that in verses 4 to 6. I'm going to read them, see if you can work out who has become the Christian's first love. You will say in that day, "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." Well, it's obvious, isn't it? When someone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and drinks this water, well, they will be quite simply bowled over by God because they've come to know him, his goodness, his grace, his glory, his mercy, his forgiveness. He will become the passion of their heart. He will become the centre of their lives. You can always tell the true football fan by the length of time they shout for joy when the goal goes in. Well, look again at verse 6. What will make the Christian shout for joy above all? Well, it's the presence of the one they love, being in his presence. "Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." They are shouting because they are in God's presence, shouting for joy. For the Christian, therefore, there will be nothing better about the present, the future, or about eternity than simply being in the presence of God, because he has become the obsession of their heart. Many of you will have witnessed this transformation in others. I mentioned the lady that I'd met at church who became a Christian in the last couple of years, called Carol. I was chatting to her on Sunday. I can't remember exactly what I said. Sorry, it's two Sundays ago. I think I might have just said something fairly basic, like she said something and then I said, "God is good, isn't he?" To my surprise, she choked up. She actually couldn't get the next words out, because she was just so overwhelmed with gratitude to God. The mere mention of his name was enough to bring her to tears. 3 years ago, if you'd asked Carol what she thought of God, nothing really. Barely a consideration. She drank from the wells of salvation. She came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he has become the fixation of her heart. She loves him more than anything else. He has become everything to her. And this newfound love, I don't know if you noticed in the verses, this newfound love is expressed upwards and outwards. So verse 4, "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name," upwards. "Make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted," outwards. Verse 5, "Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously," upwards. "Let this be made known in all the earth," outwards. This is how true love for God is expressed. This is the authentic response to salvation. We will be those who give thanks, who call upon the name of the Lord, who sing to God. We will be those who proclaim, who make known his deeds. You can't have one without the other. You can't decide, "I think I'll be an upwards Christian, not an outwards," or "an outwards, not an upwards." No, this is the expectation of somebody who loves God, upwards and outwards. Now, here's a point I think important to make. Because if you're a follower of Jesus here, like me, you may well be thinking, "Do you know what, verses 4 to 6 don't really describe me a lot of the time. That's not what I'm like. That's not how I feel about God a lot of the time. Might be discouraging to read them, actually." Well, I think there's a couple of things we can say on that. Firstly, if we are Christian, if we have drunk from the wells of salvation, we're not what we once were. The transformation has begun. God has begun to become the centre of our lives. If we're honest with ourselves and look deep, you know, we can see that we do love God. But we need to see verses 4 to 6, I think, as our direction of travel. This is true Christian maturity. This is our aim in life, to be transformed more and more into this kind of person. You may ask, how does this happen? Well, I think that's where verse 3 comes in, drinking the wells of salvation. As we plunge our heads into the wells of salvation, so we will be transformed more and more into this kind of person. There's a man who leads the city ministry over at St. Helens and has been doing it for years. I'll always remember, he said to me that there were people who'd been coming to Bible studies for years who actually he'd seen gradually changing more and more into this kind of person in verses 4 to 6. As they drank regularly and deeply from the wells of salvation, so they were transformed. Didn't happen overnight, but slowly. So verses 4 to 6, you might say, was their direction of travel. I wonder where you want to be in 5 years' time. They ask you that, don't they, at your trendy 360 reviews. Where do you want to be in 5 years' time? Well, you can't do much better than verses 4 to 6. I want to be more bowled over by God, more passionate about him, more deeply thankful, more constantly calling on his name, more passionate that his deeds be made known in the city, more longing for that day when we will shout for joy in his presence. So to sum up, I think what these verses are saying for the Christian is, keep drinking from the wells of salvation. Enjoy God. Plunge your head into the wells of salvation. And as we do so, expect to be transformed more and more into people who so love God that we will be upwards and we will be outwards. And to those investigating Christianity, well, if you thirst in your soul, if that's you, there is only one kind of water that can quench your thirst, and that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that you are a much better God than we could ever have imagined. That though we have treated you so badly, you do not treat us, repay us in kind. Rather, you open up the wells of salvation for us. We pray that you would help us now to plunge our heads into those wells of salvation in the scriptures and be transformed into the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.